I'm Pastor Hetty. I get the great opportunity to serve and pastor at North Church Guthrie. And I just want to welcome you to North. This is so exciting. About 2 years ago, we were in the same place. We launched North Church Guthrie. And it was such an exciting day. That Sunday morning was so full of energy and people just passionate about launching a new church. And I know the same is happening today. So I just want to say this. There's three things when you come and be a part of the North family. Three things we want to see happen. We want to see you loving God. We want to see you loving people. And we want to see you following Jesus. So welcome to the family. Welcome to the North family.
Come on. 15 years ago, Shannon and I started North in our living room with three people. 2 years ago, we started North Church Guthrie. 6 months ago, we started North Church Freedom House in Chicota, Oklahoma. Today, we are starting North Church Deer Creek, and I am pumped, and I hope you are too. Come on, let's show the love right now. Yeah! Boom! Some of you look at me, who are you? I'm glad you're here at North Church, okay? And I'm Pastor Rodney Fouts, founding pastor 15 years ago. I want you just to meet my family just real quick, okay? Here is a picture of my lovely family. Come on, doesn't that look good? That's our children, my son, his wife, two daughters, and then obviously that good-looking gal right next to me is my wife, Shannon. And I got to be honest with you, we did not have those children by mistake. The truth of the matter is, something that you might not know about Shannon, but she can't keep her hands off me. I'm telling you. We're empty nesters now, and I got to just run around that house to keep away from her. I'm so glad you're here. Next week, I'm starting a new series called Amazing, okay? So it'll be week number one next week. It's from the book of Ruth. And basically, the book of Ruth is an epic tale. It is just an amazing story of struggle, of loss, of death, of romance, of hope, and God's provincial power and his miracle-working power. And so I hope that you come next week and bring somebody with you, because I'm telling you, it is going to be one powerful series that is going to do you good, okay? But today we're going to talk about I Can Handle It. Today's message is I Can Handle It. And this came out of just a few weeks ago. In fact, I was asked to speak to our students, our North students, and I was coming back from Freedom House, and I was sitting in the back seat of the truck that Pastor Clint, our executive director, was driving, and I just wrote the notes for the message that day, and I delivered the message to our students, and I had so many students say, you need to preach that on the weekend. You need to give that to our adults. And then I had some of the adult leaders in there saying, you need to bring that message to the adults. So today, I want to talk to you about I Can Handle It. Because you may be facing something right now that you feel like it's bigger than you. It's greater than you. And maybe it is, but our God is more than able. Amen. Okay? And so I'm going to just jump in that today. But I want us to first pray, and let's invite God's presence. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in right now to speak to us, not the person next to you bumping, like, God, I want you to speak to this person next to me, you know, my spouse, my friend, you know, somebody, my kids, you know, my parents. No, speak to you right now. Father, we just pray right now, and we invite your Holy Spirit to come speak to us. And God, we know that through you all things are possible. And God, I pray right now that we just are able to trust in you, to lean not on our own understanding, and we'll rely upon you for all things, because through you we can handle whatever it is that we face, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. So I remember back whenever I was in high school, an event that happened. One time mom was coming home from the grocery store. She had a lot of bags. And do you remember that all you had was the brown bags? And so she had the brown bags all in the back of the car. And she asked me to go get them. And I go get them. And, you know, being the teenager that I was, you know, I feel like I can handle carrying like all the bags at one time. So I'm like putting bags down my arms and just stacking them up. And I'm trying to get inside because I can handle this. And I'm just trying to get in the house. And as I'm going in the house, lo and behold, I dropped some of the bags. Now, I held onto some of the bags, but I realized even the ones I squeezed onto had eggs and bread in there. By the time I got in, mom was very, very disappointed and very upset because I had broke some items, I had busted some eggs, and I had smashed the bread. Not a good deal. Obviously, I still haven't learned from my mistakes because still today when Shannon says, would you go get the groceries, how many of you men are like me? You try to get as much as you possibly can. Now with the plastic bags, I just kind of run them up my arm and get as many as I can. I don't know why it is. I feel like that I can always handle it, but I can't always handle it. I've learned this about my wife. She can't handle being spooked. No way. Matter of fact, let me just say this. I can walk into the room and just say hello, and she jumps out, almost out of her skin. It's like, I ask her, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to announce myself? Because any way I choose to announce myself, come to the room, I seem to scare her. I think it may go back to a time early in our marriage. It was very early in our marriage. We just married a few months. We had no children yet. We only had one vehicle. And I was going to be gone. Somebody came, picked me up. It was work-related. I was going to be home about 10 o'clock at night. That was the plan, okay? But instead, I got home at 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, this is, come on, if you are like younger than 30 years of age, you will not even comprehend this, but at one time, there was no mobile phones, okay? If you were the lucky few that had enough money, you had a pager, okay? But I didn't even have that. And so, therefore, I had no way to announce to Shannon to let her know that I am coming home early, okay? When I got home, she wasn't there. She was with the car. She was out doing her thing. She comes, and so I just sat down. It was a cold winter day. And as I'm sitting there, I hear the car pulling up. And I don't know what happened to me other than maybe for a brief moment the devil made me do something. I decided to jump in the closet. So in our house, you would open the front door, and then after you open the front door, there was a closet there. And I knew the routine that Shannon had on a cold winter day because she was going to open her front door, she would shut it, and then she would open the closet door, and then she would grab a hanger, and then she would put her coat on the hanger and go about her business. So I get in there behind all the jackets, and I stood there. I hear the door open. I hear it shut. And then the doorknob begins to turn on the closet door. I'm behind the coats. And then she reaches up to grab a hanger. And as she reaches up to grab a hanger, I reached up and grabbed her wrist. I didn't say boo. I didn't scare her. If I am lying, I am dying. But she literally wilted to the ground at that moment. I thought I had lost my new wife. I have never done that again. I am fortunate to be here today speaking to you. She can't handle it. You know what? There are things that you and I can't handle. We think we can, but we can't. Let me give you some of them. First off is this, flirting with sin. You cannot handle flirting with sin. You can't. Now, when I begin to talk about sin, that three-letter word, okay, some of you, depending on your church background or where you come from, some of you begin to think of, oh, here's the list. You can't do this, can't do that. No, I'm not going to give you a list. I mean, there are things that the Bible clearly states and lays out, but I'm not going to throw out any list for you today. I just want you to stop and realize this. You know, Romans chapter number 2 says that God has written his laws on our heart. I mean, there's things that we innately know. We just know that we should not be doing. In fact, do you realize this in James chapter number 4? This is so important to understand. James chapter 4 and verse number 17. Look what this says. It says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do what? It. Stop there for just a moment. What is it in your life right now that you know that you should be doing, but you're not doing? Other translations said to know the right thing to do and not do it. What is it in your life that you know that I should be doing that? I should be treating that person better. I should be forgiving here. I should be stopping doing that, or I should be doing this. If you know the good that you should be doing and you're not doing it, it is sin. Don't flirt with it. Get away from it. Matter of fact, let's learn to put this in practice. Get as far away from sin as possible and get as close to our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we possibly can. It works. I'll give you another one that we can't handle. Wrong friends. We really cannot handle the wrong friends. Matter of fact, let me just talk about the right friends. The right friends tell you the truth. The right friends have your back. The right friends are celebrating your victories. They're not envious of the things that are happening positive in your life. In fact, let me just break it down this. The right friends challenge you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. The right friends are willing to hold you accountable to living a cross-centered life. The right friends, get this, are taking you closer to Jesus instead of farther from Jesus. There's a story in the Bible about a group of men, four men, who grabbed a crippled guy and literally carried him to Jesus. And Jesus recognized the faith of those four men that carried him to Jesus. Who is helping you get closer to Jesus? Let me ask this. Who are you helping get closer to Jesus? Are you being the right type of friend that you need to be? To people you work with, to people you live with, the people you hang out with. Come on. I want to be the right friend. How about you? We cannot handle the wrong friendships in our life. The scripture says this, 1 Corinthians 15. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good, say it with me, morals. Did you get that? Don't be deceived. For some reason, we try to convince ourselves that it's okay. No. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Your friends impact your life. And so therefore, we've got to stop. Who is it that you're hanging around, you know, at work, going to lunch with, that, you know, like really they are pulling you away? Who is it that is speaking into your life that's not helping your marriage, that is hurting your marriage? Who is it that's causing you to convince you to rebel against mom and dad and against the people in your life that you should be obeying? Who is it that, okay, stop right there. They're the wrong friends. They're not taking you to Jesus. Let me give you another one, too. We can't handle no spiritual authorities in our life. I just want you to stop and realize you cannot handle no spiritual authorities in your life. No. All of us have spiritual authority in our life, whether we realize it or not. The problem is many of us live as if we don't have spiritual authorities in our life. That's the key. Go on, let's talk about the home right now. Home is a structure of spiritual authority. Home, come on. Students, look at me. Look at me real quick. All of you students, let's, right here. You are under your parents' home. Come on. The Bible says obey your parents. And let me just tell you this. You are to always honor your parents. There will come a time that you will leave your home and you will go on your own, but even then, you are to honor your parents. But you are right now to obey. That's the authority, the structure that God, and the Bible says that there is a blessing that comes with the obedience that you give to your parents, with the right attitude. No. Not just say, I did it, but you did it with the right attitude. That's key. And then obey promptly, it's crucial. No, let me see. Not just kids, how about husbands and wife? Come on, that is the authority structure that God has given, that you keep each other balanced. Husbands and wives. Husbands and wives. In fact, the scripture even lays it out here. Look at this, Ephesians 5. It says that submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. In other words, we ought to be accountable to each other. That's what spiritual authority is all about in relationships. as husband and wife. Now, let's look at this also, the church. The church is a structure of spiritual authority that God has given us. There's some that have bashed the church, that have spoken negatively against the church. But you know, the church is the one organization that's still been around for the last 2,000 years. Other organizations and businesses have come and gone. As a matter of fact, the business that you're working for is going to eventually come and go. But let me tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ has been around for 2,000 plus years, and it will be around for 2,000 plus more years. You know why? Because the founder of the church is no other man. Come on, he is the man. He is the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's why it's going to last. And that's why you need to be under the umbrella of the church, because there is protection there. There is power there. There is no greater force of hope and life change in our world than the Church of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I heard one say one time is that the church is the hope of the world, because the church is pointing people to Jesus. I want you to listen to one story of one of our pastors sharing about someone significant to his life who was changed because of the local church.
Hi, everyone. My name is Samson, and I am the pastor at North Church Deer Creek. This is an exciting day for us. I want to personally thank all of you, our North Church family at OKC, Guthrie, and Freedom House for praying for us, for supporting us, and cheering us on as we open our doors today to the community of Deer Creek. My wife, Hope, came to North over 7 years ago, back when we were in one location at OKC, back before I was even at North. And trust me, she likes to remind me of that all the time. It's like when you're a kid and you lick the donut and say, it's mine. She's made it very clear that North Church was her donut first. But when she came to North for the first time, it was because she saw a billboard. She was driving around, and her faith in God was kind of on its last leg. She was going to give up on God. She was going to give God one last shot. She'd grown up under this very abusive and legalistic understanding of church. And she, like some of us in this room, grew up in a broken family and carried a lot of wounds. Before she came to church, she told God these words, "If you're real, then show me." And so she walked into the lobby of North at OKC and heard the music in the auditorium. And she had always been taught that rock and roll was the devil's music. So let's just say she was a little shocked by our worship. But she knew that she had to give God one last shot. So she waited till the music ended and walked into the auditorium, and Pastor Rodney was preaching. And for the first time in her life, she experienced the unfiltered, unrelenting, unending love of Jesus Christ. She experienced a heavenly Father and a heavenly family, the church. She couldn't get enough. And you know what? She kept coming back. She found women in the church who mentored her, a small group to strengthen her, friends to challenge and support her, spiritual authorities that grew her faith. And she even found, get this, a husband who's crazy about her. Now, I can't guarantee those results for everyone, but that's how the church works. That is the church at work. And you know what her favorite part of the service is now? Worship. Today, that young lady who was afraid to walk through the doors of North Church 7 years ago is by my side as we open the doors for the first time at North Church Deer Creek. Let me tell you, that is what the church is all about. There is no greater force for hope and life change in our world today than the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of you are here because you got a card in the mail, or you saw a post on Facebook, or maybe because someone personally invited you. Maybe you're here like my wife, Hope, giving God one last shot. I'm going to level with you here. We don't have it all figured out. Our church isn't perfect, but we are people perfected by His love. So I want to invite you to find hope here. Find people to strengthen your faith here. Find accountability here. But most importantly, experience His perfect love perfecting you here. because you and I cannot handle life without Jesus.
Come on. So, you cannot handle, I cannot handle flirting with sin, the wrong friends, and no spiritual authorities. But we also cannot handle life without Jesus. None of us can handle life without Jesus. You need to go check this out. If you haven't seen this, the ESPN 3030s, anybody? There's one of them specifically that I want to point out. The 3030 ESPN called Broke. Basically, the story is this. It's about all of the professional athletes who made millions of dollars that soon after they retired, they were broke. 78% of former NFL players are broke. Now when you see their story in their life, you think, oh, they've got it, everything anyone has ever dreamed of. But really, they were bankrupt. Now, the question I have for you, does everybody think that you have it together and you got the home and you got the two-car garage and you've got your fence in the backyard and things seem to be going well for you, but are you spiritually bankrupt? Are you trying to do life without Jesus? You can't handle life without Jesus. We all need Jesus. He is everything. And I'm going to go to Philippians chapter number 4. If you turn there with me, Philippians chapter number 4. It's in the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament. If you need to go to the table of contents, do it. Or you'll also see it in your notes, and also you'll see it on the big screen in front of you. But this story in the Philippians starts by this guy named Paul, who had this radical transformation. He was actually far from God. He was actually killing Christians, and God just grabbed hold of his life. And then when God grabbed hold of his life, he turned around and became radical for Jesus. And then one time God gives him a vision to go to Macedonia, and he begins to go to Macedonia. He ends up in a town called Philippi. He stops there, and as he gets there, he meets this lady named Lydia on the side of a riverbank, and she was apparently very successful. This is an area, in Southeast Asia, Southwest Asia, basically where there is gold, there's silver, and she was a dealer in purple, which was meaning that she was dealing with some fine clothes. She was very wealthy. She had a lot going for her. She gives her heart to Jesus. And then Paul begins to preach around town, and people begin to come to know Christ. And then there's this girl who is demonic. It begins to follow Paul around, and then Paul cast out the demon. And then when Paul cast out the demon, then the people she was making money for, because she was telling the future of people, and making money, and so therefore they got mad at Paul, and they threw Paul in prison, and they beat him, and they chained him to the walls. And then the Bible says that at midnight when he was chained to walls, he began to sing songs unto God. And then God sent an earthquake, and the chains fell off of Paul. And then chief jailer comes running in because all the doors are open, the chains are off. He thinks all the prisoners are gone, and he comes in to take his sword and kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. And actually, in the middle of the night, he goes home with this guy and leads his entire family to the Lord, and it says they're all baptized. Come on, what an all-nighter. It's a powerful story. And that's how the church started. The Philippian church started because of it. So Philippians, you have this great, vibrant church. And several years later, Paul is in prison again. And he's writing them this letter. And listen to what he says. Listen, this is a powerful, because Paul's telling them, you can handle it. No matter what it is, you can handle it. And Paul's saying, you know what I've been through. You know what I'm going through now. Listen to what he has to say. He says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Stop there for just a moment. You know what he's saying here is so important? He said, first, your present stuff you're dealing with, take it to God and pray about it. And the stuff in your past, remember what God has done and praise him for it. You'll learn to handle things in life, do those two things, and you can better handle life as it comes your way. And continue on. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Do you need something to guard your heart and guard your mind from worry, from fear, from keeping you up at night? Let me tell you something. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. Verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable, on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You want to handle life? Do that. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be what? With you. With you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again, and I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Can you say that? Come on, I don't know if I can always say that, but that's the goal. And I believe before today is over, you're going to find that peace. Look at verse number 13. This is the key of all of it. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Let's read that together, all of us, all locations. Ready? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Let's read it one more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. One more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So Christ is the source. So Christ is the hope. So how can I experience Christ? Let me give you a few things to write down. Come on, this is how you experience Christ. First off, the Word is Christ. The Word is Christ. From the very beginning of Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God is Christ revealed. Matter of fact, it says that Jesus came in the volume of the book. In fact, Genesis chapter number 1, it says, in the beginning God. And what did God do? He spoke. And it was His words that created everything that we see. It's the Word of God that was powerful. The Word of God, it says, will not return void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will remain forever. Two things that will remain, the Word of God and you. Two things in life that will remain. I look at John chapter number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know who that's speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. It's speaking, because in verse number 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I love one translation, the Message says that He walked about in the neighborhood. Come on. Jesus, the Word of God. What I want you to do in 2018 is stare at God's Word. Open up and just look at a verse and just stare at it. Meditate on it. Just stop and begin to think about it and meditate. Believe it. Act on it. What do you act on? Think about that last verse again. For I. You know what that word I is? That's you. This Word is for you. The promises in this book are for you. All that's in this book is for you. It's not just for your grandma that was spiritual, or not because your parents, or not because for your kids, or for the pastor, or anyone else. This is for you. For I can do. You know what I want to be? I want to be a can-do follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be one that believes that God's Word and His miracles and His transforming power is still available for today. And the God that healed people back 2,000 years ago is still the God that heals people today. The God that restored marriages in the past can restore marriages now. The God who can save people and transform lives is still the same God at work in His power today. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the hope for I can do everything. Nothing too great. Nothing too small. Through Jesus Christ. How do I experience Christ? Yes, the Word is Christ, but also the Spirit is Christ. Hear me in this. The Spirit is Christ. Go back to Genesis 1 again. You got to go back. Genesis 1, the very beginning, it says that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the earth. It was God spoke, the Spirit did. Come on. The Spirit of God has been working to transform lives ever since. Go all the way to Jesus. The Bible says that he was full of the Spirit. Jesus laid down his life for you to experience eternal life. He gave his life and paid for your sin so that you would not have to carry your sin because you could not handle your sin. You needed somebody who could handle it for you, and Jesus could handle it all. And then he died on the cross. He arose again the third day. And when he stood, because the disciples didn't believe all this, even though they had heard him say it, they still couldn't comprehend this. And I'm telling you, our minds still can't fully comprehend the power of an almighty God. And so therefore, Thomas, you've heard of doubting Thomas? All of them doubted. Come on, but he just got stuck with the label. And he's standing there, and Jesus shows up. He says, touch me, Thomas. Thomas touches him. He says, oh, Lord, I believe. You know what Jesus says? He says, receive you the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on him. Whew. Whew. Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit just breathes on everybody. Come on, you know what happens today? When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit breathes on you. And you know what you have? You have Christ living in you. The Spirit is Christ. And the Spirit of God who lives in you because you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ has empowered you, has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And I'm telling you what, you are not second class. You are a follower of Jesus. You are full of His Spirit. And when you choose to follow after Jesus, you can, through His power and His Spirit, accomplish whatever task or difficulty is ahead of you. It doesn't matter what the doctor gives. It doesn't matter the finances. It doesn't matter what's happening at work. You know what? You have the Spirit of living God living inside of you. Third one is this. Is the church is Christ. So the Word is Christ. The Spirit is Christ. And the church is, say it with me, Christ. The church is Christ. And you know why you need these three things? You need the Word of God in you, you need the Spirit of God in you, and you need the church. We're in a building. This building, a lot of people call churches, but it's not the church. Come on, we got Guthrie who's meeting in a school. Come on, we got Deer Creek meeting in an alumni hall. Come on, we got Freedom House meeting in a building. But those structures are not the church. It's the people that are empowered with the Spirit of the living God that is the church of Jesus Christ. We gather together as the church. And the Bible says that we should be gathering every single week together as part of the church of Jesus Christ. But what is the church? It's you and me. Jesus said this. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. You know what? You gather with people all the time. You gather in sport groups. You gather in hobbies. You gather at work. You gather at different places. That's all fine and dandy. But you know what gets power to your life and to your relationships? When you gather in the name of Jesus. That's why we have North groups, because you know what? We don't have to have hundreds or thousands of us gathering at one time like we do every single weekend. But you know what? When you gather in a North group with somebody else and the cause is to center and to be focused upon Jesus Christ, there is power right there and the church of Jesus Christ is there. Ready to do his work. Ready to transform lives. North Church started 15 years ago. Three people in our living room. Shannon and I had invited a lot of people. A lot of people. When everything was said and done, we had three people show up. And those three people we hadn't even invited. Everyone else didn't show up. One was a neighbor. in a couple from Texas who had just moved to town, did not even know what they was getting themselves into. But that day, as I got up and preached with everything I had, just like I have given it today, I gave the response, and Terry, one of the three, gave his heart to Jesus Christ and walked out of our living room a changed person with the Spirit of living God. Come on. What was awesome, we had a third of our congregation get saved that day. One, you may be the one today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you now to follow Him, to give your life to Jesus. I want eyes closed and no one looking around. If you're here, you're listening to me right now, you're saying, man, I'm struggling in my faith. But this moment, you want to follow Jesus. You might not be able to unpack all of that and know everything about what that means. But you're saying, I choose to follow Jesus now. I want forgiveness of my sins. I want Christ to come in and change me. God's speaking to you. And right now, if you're, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, prompting you. The Word of God you heard, you're in the church of God, but the Spirit of God's prompting you. I want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me for forgiveness of my sins and invite Him into my life. On three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Throw up hands now all over and just say, that's me. I want to follow Christ. Yes, I want to pray. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need forgiveness of my sins. I invite you into my heart. In Jesus' name. With eyes still closed and no one looking around. Maybe you're here and there's things that you can't handle. There's stuff that you're struggling with right now, and you want to give it to Jesus. You want that peace that I talked about. You want to believe that I can do all things through Christ. I mean, you've been trying to do it on your own, but now you're going to totally commit it to Christ and trust Him with whatever it is that you're struggling with. I want to pray for you, and I want you to believe with me, and let's trust God to do His thing. Father, I pray right now for individuals, God, that are trying on their own what they cannot do without Jesus. And God, I pray that we just realize we can't handle life on our own. And we need you, Lord. We give it to you. We trust you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.